Azalea City, all of our members who are watching, all of our visitors who are tuning in to our site. Again, hey, throughout the course of each Sunday, we're getting around 3,000 views. That may just be for a few moments, but hey, it's pretty powerful how God can use such a negative time in really the church's history, I would guess, the time that we can't be together. In so many ways, he's using this, I know, for the spectacular, for His glory. And so we're so glad you're here. Justin and I have been praying about today. We hope and pray that today's lesson will move you in the way that it's moved us. And we're going to continue in the theme of Acts 5 today, and we want you to be mindful of the power that's going on in that early church. Remember, our theme this year at Azalea City is focus. And so what we're trying to do is focus on where we need to be, going back to the beginning of the church and seeing and trying to emulate the great qualities that the church had. But before we enter into our worship today, and in just a moment we're going to break and we're going to have another video from some of our members, a very sweet video, and we're going to do that as long as we're doing these and as long as we have videos, I guess. But before we do that, Justin and I, from the bottom of our hearts, want to say to all of the mothers out there, Happy Mother's Day. And I know that David and George were able to say to all their mothers, I won't specifically go through, but I have just wonderful spiritual women in my life that I get to worship with still here at Azalea City. And, I mean, all the ladies that have impacted me, and then unfortunately, some that have impacted me in a spiritual way have gone on. Now, unfortunate for me, but fortunate for them. And I'm mindful of all of those this morning. But from the bottom of our hearts, Happy Mother's Day.
You know, usually this time I would be standing up giving announcements. And I always like to take time, whether it's Memorial Day or Veterans Day or Mother's Day, Father's Day, of asking the congregation, you know, hey, at this time, can we have all the mothers stand? Could we take this time, but really before we enter our worship, to give you a round of applause? And, well, there are a couple moms here, and it would be hard to do that, but maybe since all the moms are there, maybe mothers today, if we could do this, stay seated in your chairs or in your couches, but maybe Terry and I could stand and give you, you know, an applause, right? So thank you all, mothers, for everything you do. Certainly love you, certainly appreciate you. Man, we would not be here without moms, right? Hey, I wrote a bulletin article this week. I didn't write it, I copied it. Of in my next life, I'm going to be a bear.
A mama bear.
A mama bear, right? Because, you know, you can go read the article. But in there, hey, moms, in your next life, I know you're going to gain a crown, and that's going to be far more fabulous than being a bear. But they almost deserve that, don't they? Having to put up with people like you and myself.
Right.
I know there's a lot of moms in my life that have made a special impact like you. So just from the bottom of our hearts, thank you so much. I certainly wish we could be together. I don't believe we thought when all this started we would still be doing this during Mother's Day. But
no doubt.
Moms, thank you all.
No doubt. And so, again, you're all very special. Thank you for tuning in. There may be some more tune in the meantime. But what we want to do right now is we're going to go to video, and then we're going to transition into getting our minds ready for worship with song. Thank you very much, and we love you all. Thank you for joining. Hey, oh, by the way, before we go to it, go ahead and like and share and get the word out and get that out of the way, so to speak, and that way we can get our focus. But thank you all for being here.
As we continue our worship, but really begin this first part of our worship, I'd like to read from Acts chapter 4 and really direct our minds there, Terry, because that's kind of started it all for the whole we can't stop and the unstoppable we're going to talk about today. But starting in Acts 4 in verse 15, it says, "But when they commanded them to leave the council, they conferred with one another, saying, what shall we do with these men? For that a notable sign has been performed through them is evident to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But in order that it may spread no further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name. So they called them and charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard." And when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people. For all were praising God for what had happened. Let's pray together this morning. Father, thank you for the boldness of Peter and John and the other apostles here in the very beginning of the church. Father, thank you for them not being able to stop. Thank you for them not listening to men, but being obedient to you and to your will for their lives. Father, thank you for their courage, and I pray that we can model that same courage and boldness in our lives today. Father, even though we may not be persecuted by high priests and other religious leaders, Father, I believe we're persecuted by everything in our lives, such as maybe jobs and hobbies, things that try to pull us away from you. Father, I pray that we can certainly turn our backs on those and make sure that they are not taking the place of you in our lives. Help us to readily speak your name. Help us not to be people pleasers. Help us make sure that we are obedient to you. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to worship this morning, to really pledge our allegiance to you, to show our obedience. And Father, I pray that even though we're in such a strange time in our lives, that we're able to put away all distractions, that we're able to solely focus on you, that we're able to give you the much deserved praise, honor, and glory this morning. Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for demonstrating that love towards us by sending Jesus Christ to die for us so that we did not have to die that cruel and painful death for our sins. But Father, thank you for the hope that we have through Jesus. And God, I pray that you will help us again to eliminate all distractions, eliminate things in our lives that are going away from your will. I pray that you will continue to give us boldness. Help us to be part of the unstoppable force that is your word and that is your kingdom. Thank you again for Christ. I pray again that this pandemic will end soon, that we can be back together. I pray that you'll continue to be with our elders and their leadership and their vision for this church. Continue to bless us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, we're going to have another song to help do that, and then we'll come back and give you a few thoughts.
such a beautiful song to remind us of, no matter what, Jesus Christ has always been faithful to us. His faithfulness, His sacrifice, as we just sang, His love, is something at this time we need to focus on. We need to focus on the life that Jesus lived. We need to focus on the death that He died. And as we partake of this communion, we want to remember that. We never want to forget how special it is to be able to be what we are today because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. I want to read to you today from a prophecy of Christ, a very famous prophecy. It's found in Isaiah chapter 53. We'll begin in verse 3 and we'll read through verse 7. Think of what Jesus went through. Think about how Jesus knew this long before He ever came and did it. He knew that one day His Father would turn to Him and say, "Son, it's time." He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from Him. He was despised, and we did not esteem Him. Surely, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed Him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon Him. And by His stripes, we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before its shears is silent, so He opened not His mouth. Let's pray. Father, I just don't have the words to say. But thank You for the sacrifice of Your Son. Thank You, Father, that even though it was 2,000 years ago for us, many years before that, even outside of time, Jesus and You knew that one day He would come and fulfill the words of Isaiah. Father, for all those stripes that were laid upon Him through that scourging, Father, for all those bruises, for all the hardship and pain that Jesus went through, His broken and battered body on that cross. Father, it's the reason today we can pray to You. It's the reason today we can worship You. And Father, as we commune together, some of us in this room, but hundreds and even thousands across this virtual world, Father, I pray that we'll never forget what Jesus went through for us. We ask Your blessings on this bread. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's continue in prayer this morning. Father, as Terry just said, words really cannot express what we feel in this moment, knowing that it should have been our bodies up on that cross, that we deserve the penalty of death. Father, You saw it fit to send Jesus to die for us, and we are so thankful. Father, it's so overwhelming to us, getting something, the measure of grace and mercy that You've extended to us, we certainly do not deserve. Father, at this time as we partake of this fruit of the vine, which represents the blood of Jesus, I pray that we can do that in a way that pleases You and certainly brings honor to Jesus. Father, I know it's not something that deep down inside He wanted to go through. And I know you didn't want to put him through it as well. But you saw it fit because you knew that was the only way to get us back into the right relationship with you. And we're so thankful for that. And Father, I pray that you will just be with us right now as we partake. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
That officially ends what we consider and call, I guess, the Lord's Supper. But as tradition has it in our services, now would be the time that we would talk about our giving, and we will continue that. I just want to say, when I set out, I guess we set out to do all this, we talked on Jesus calling the disciples. And David and George referenced it again in the Bible class this morning. But Jesus had told Peter, who was filled with a little bit of weariness and a little bit of doubt, and a little bit of frustration probably, he said, get back out, you know, go out into the deep, go against the norm, launch your nets. And he didn't say it, but expect the spectacular. Well, as you know, and as David reminded us this morning, those nets were so full of fish, they had to get help. You have launched out into the deep, Azalea City, and I want you to know, I am so proud of you, and I have never been prouder to be the minister of this church than I am right now. Your sacrificial giving, we are nearly at budget.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very, very close. With a bigger budget than we've ever had before this year, we've almost consistently kept budget. That means that things can keep going on.
Mm-hmm.
And work is going on. I just want you to know that salaries are being paid here and abroad. We're still able to do things. Recently, we have started several projects building things and improving our outdoor Bible for our children. There's been meals given, food distribution. 300 people a month just about are given groceries. So many great things are still going on. But it's because of your generosity. And I just wanted to take a moment to say thank you and how much we love you. Don't stop. But thank you for being willing to do what you do. Let's give thanks now for the blessings. Father, we love you so much. Father, your design of the church, again, just blows our finite minds. We can't even grasp how spectacular it is that you designed a place that we could come and be a part. And Father, we can become family through the blood of your Son. Father, there are so many here at Azalea City that's been so willing to give and trust you and launch down their nets. And Father, I just pray that you are letting their nets be filled with so many blessings. I know they are, dear Father. I thank you so much for this church family. I thank you so much for Jason and for Justin. Father, not only do I believe they are the best ministers that we can have, but Father, they are such dear friends of mine. Thank you for our elders, Father. Some are sick. Some are battling every day like Brother Larry, and others have so many things going on. But Father, they are diligently working to be the shepherds of this flock. Thank you so much for those who sacrifice to make this place so special. I ask you, Father, to keep blessing us and keep letting us be able to ring out your message. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. If you missed this earlier, we're not going to stand and applaud again, but we will say to our mothers, Happy Mother's
Absolutely.
Day.
Absolutely.
Today is, you know, if we were gathered here at Azalea City, and when I didn't plan out a whole year's worth of lessons or anything, but Justin and I got together and we knew our theme would be focus, and we talked about in April we would be doing family-focused, and we would not carry that to May because, you know, May's Mother's Day.
That's right.
And by no means did we think right now we would still be in the same setting we are.
Yeah.
So today would typically, if I were to stand before you and preach to a full house, if you will, I would preach about mothers and I would talk about them. But we don't have that type of lesson today because we have so many different situations going on. We wanted to continue with our theme of We Can't Stop. And so we've titled today's lesson, Unstoppable. And hey, we got a lot of mamas that are unstoppable.
No question.
We know that. So this applies to mamas, this applies to daddies, this applies to singles, this applies to children, it applies to all of us in whatever stage of life. And again, these are not our words, they're God's. But you know, Justin, as we introduce this lesson, there are a lot of things in life that can bring us to a dead stop.
I didn't get that. Could you try again?
I don't know why Siri wants to talk this morning, but I don't need her. Sorry about that.
Siri, he said, there are things in life that can bring us to a dead stop.
Yeah. Sorry, we are live TV or whatever this is, live internet. But there are several things in life that can bring us to a dead stop. One of those would be sickness. Mm-hmm. For instance, you could be going and going and going and going, and then all of a sudden, sickness sets in to you, to one somebody in your loved one, and it brings you to a stop. Mm-hmm. You know, certainly death can do that, and our church family has experienced very sad death this year. A lot of people I'm thinking about today that are really near and dear to me, that have gone on to their reward, thankfully, but we hurt for them, and, right. And that brings our lives to a dead stop. But Justin, have you ever been in your forestry job?
Yes.
Have you ever walked along, and then all of a sudden there'd be a snake laying down there? How'd you do? Did you just keep trugging along?
I remember one time, and I didn't know you were going to ask me this question, but I think the first time I probably saw a snake while I was by myself in the woods doing forestry stuff. I was painting boundary lines, and that is, let me tell you, that's not the most fun job, I guess there is, because it's usually thick. You've got a machete in your hand. You've got to come. You scrape an edge of the tree or side of the tree, and you paint with, you're carrying a gallon bucket of paint the whole time. And I remember walking up on I promise you it was a 7-foot-long chicken snake.
Oh, wow.
And so it kind of looks like a rattlesnake when you first... So I remember stepping, and I did. I came to a dead stop. I froze for a second, and then I kind of jumped back, and thankfully I didn't slosh yellow paint or cut my leg with a machete or anything, you know. But, yeah, there have been multiple times where that just
you to a
kind of paralyzes you a little bit.
And that was a non-poisonous snake.
Right.
But at the same time, it brings us to a dead stop. Now, where are you going with that, Terry? Well, Satan, who's referred to as that snake, or certainly as that lion, sometimes in life we can be trucking along spiritually, trucking along, and all of a sudden Satan slithers in or Satan roars in. Either way, we come to a dead stop if we're not careful. We need to have that faith like David and George talked about this morning. But you think about in life and situationals, marriages sometimes come to a dead stop. Mm-hmm. And that's very unfortunate. Sometimes in vocational situations, and a lot of people are experiencing this right now, you're working, and all of a sudden the boss comes in and says, hey, we can't spend any money right now, and it comes to a dead stop. Or maybe somebody's unemployed, and especially right now, you're looking for a job, and you come to dead ends, and everything's at a dead stop. You know what happens? It can be physically, it can be spiritually. Sometimes we feel like, and sometimes, unfortunately, people do, they just give up. You know, when it comes to being stopped spiritually, we focus on ourselves so much in that moment. We turn it internal, and again, I know and I get it. We feel sorry for ourselves or whatever, but you know, it reminds us that what really happens is our heart's not in it. Mm-hmm. If our heart's not in things, we tend to let life stop us. You know, though, if we're going to make it to heaven, we've got to have an unstoppable faith. Mm-hmm. We've got to be immovable, like Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15. I want you to know, church, that God is greater than whatever Satan puts in our way. And God's power, we talked about this, is available to us. All we have to do is plug into it. You see, God's ready to enable us. Mm-hmm. To stand strong. He's ready to enable us to not lose heart and to not give up. And as I read through Acts 5, and as you read through Acts 5, and we were thinking about what is the title of this? What is this? you know, several things came to me, but we landed on this one. Even though it's very similar to last week, we must become unstoppable. We do that by having the attitude that they did in Acts 4, is we can't stop.
That's right.
And so as we get into this today, you know, and we look into Acts 5, just like last week, the religious leaders are trying to put a muzzle on the message that Peter and John proclaimed so boldly. But Peter and John didn't give in.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't give up. They wouldn't allow themselves to get sidetracked or discouraged. They just kept pressing on. And so that gets us to where we are today. As we introduce this lesson and we get into it, would you read for us, Justin, verses 1 through 6?
Yep. Acts chapter 5 again, verses 1 through 6. But a man named Ananias, with his wife Sapphira, sold a piece of property, and with his wife's knowledge kept back for himself some of the proceeds and brought only a part of it and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back for yourself a part of the proceeds of the land? While it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not at your disposal? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to man, but to God. When Ananias heard these words, he fell down and breathed his last. And great fear came upon all who heard it. The young men rose and wrapped him up and carried him out and buried him.
Before we get into our first point, I know there's a little bit more we're going to get into that. I'd just like to say, and this is really very, very tongue-in-cheek, but also harsh, and I don't mean it to be that way, because sometimes preachers bring object lessons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've done a lot of object lessons. But there's not a greater object lesson
to
spark fear and motivation
than
watching somebody come and lie to the Holy Spirit, lie to God, and drop dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't stop there.
Yep.
In fact, in verses 7 through 11, after an interval of about 3 hours, not much time has passed, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter said to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. But Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door. That is eerie now. And they will carry you out. Immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. When the young men came in, they found her dead, and they carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear came upon the whole church and upon all of those who heard these things. You know, to be unstoppable. Here we are. We're going to get into our lesson now, into our body of it. One thing as I read through verses 1 through 11 that I'm so vividly reminded of is if we're going to be unstoppable, we must be led by the Spirit of our Lord. We've talked about that over and over, right?
That's right.
We've talked about it so much from Romans 8 to a couple weeks ago to now. If we're not Spirit-led people, then bad things are going to happen. We're going to be stopped, and I don't mean this pun to sound as bad as, but dead in our tracks.
Imagine the last words that you hear, and it's kind of, I've read through Acts 5 a lot, and it really stuck with me when I was reading it, and then you were reading a part of it. But imagine the last words that Ananias hears is, you have not lied to man, but to God. Because immediately he fell down and breathed his last. And then after his wife Sapphira came in, she hears that, hey, the people that just buried your husband are about to bury you. And that has to be, well, obviously it's paralyzing to so many others. But it really underlines a critical point here that no matter what, as Christians, lying is wrong.
Correct.
Right? Like that shows how serious that God is about telling the truth. This book is filled with how many ever chapters and verses, and Sister Wanda could comment and let us know of how many chapters and verses. I know it's over 1,100 because you and I talked about this one time, 1,178 I believe. But verses are filled and not a single one of them is a lie.
Correct.
Right? It is all 100% truth. And from our mouths, if we are filled with the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, and everything else that goes along with it, you and I are not to lie.
You're right. And Justin, sometimes we may not lie with our lips or tongues, I guess, but we lie with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
you know, we come to the church and, hey, man, I'm gonna be there every time the doors are open. But when we have a moment that people aren't watching,
right,
maybe we let our hair down.
That's right.
You know, or maybe even during this time, where we think, hey, I'm that type person that I'm going to be there and I'm going to step up and I'm going to step out. But then when it comes to I don't know, maybe something that gets in the way, hey, maybe it glitched a little bit. Okay, well, that gives me a chance. I don't have to worship anymore.
Right.
It glitched. They messed up. And again, Theo's and Robert's amazing, but sometimes things happen, right? And, or maybe it's, I don't know, maybe our kids are distracting us and we put it off for a moment. Hey, I'll go back to it later. But you know, we get that mindset, or maybe it's a hobby, you know, that, hey, I just got to go do this or I got to go do that. And you know what we're doing when we're doing that? We're not lying to you and me.
Right.
Because you can fool a fool.
Right.
And you can kid a kid, but we can't trick God.
That's right.
And that's what Peter's saying here. You cannot fool God or the Holy Spirit.
And I believe it is Satan that works in doing that, right? To where we try to normalize it, we try to justify our behaviors or maybe our comments, our words. Like you said, it's certainly not, lying's not just done with our tongue or with our mouth, which we've talked about, that's really untamable, but we can lie with our actions as well. We can put on this front, and we'll see that these people were trying to, Ananias and Sapphira, and I'll mention it here in a minute too, they're trying to be people pleasers, right? That they're trying to look all big and bad. They're trying to look committed. See, this whole chapter to me, and really the first few chapters here in Acts is, hey, there's no more being casually committed. Peter at one point in his life, John at one point in his life, they were casually committed to following Christ. You and I, probably at a lot of points in our lives, and I'm speaking at us and then everybody else too, I guess, we've probably been casually committed to Christ. That's got to stop, right? If we're going to be a part of the unstoppable, we have to be Spirit-led. And if we're Spirit-led, we're not just casually committed. We've got to be fully involved. You can think about this in verse 2. He kept back for himself. Ananias said, like, hey, I'm not just really about the work of God here. I'm going to keep back for myself here. He allowed Satan to fill his heart. Peter tells him that. We allow Satan to fill our hearts. He says, Peter tells him, he's lied to the Holy Spirit. You've contrived. Like, this isn't some spontaneous reaction. No, you've deliberately created this. You've thought about, you planned this out. This is premeditated. You and your wife conspired together and say, hey, look, we're going to act like we're going to give the whole thing. We're only going to give a part. And then Peter tells him, and you haven't lied to man. You've lied to God. So verse 4 tells us, and you know as well, that if they would have taken a portion of that, I don't know how much they sold the land for, but let's say they kept back $5,000 or $10,000 or whatever it was, it would have been quite okay to do that. It was theirs to give away. They could have brought it and said, hey, look, we wanted to keep back a little bit just as a slush fund or whatever else for a rainy day, but we're going to give 95% of it. I bet everybody would have been like, thank you for your faithfulness.
Right.
We appreciate your service, right? We appreciate your attitude. Because Peter tells him, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? You could have done whatever you wanted to with it. After it was sold, was it not at your disposal? You could have done whatever you wanted to with the money, but yet you brought it here acting like you have given 100%, right? Why is it that you have contrived this deed in your heart? Again, they were trying to be people pleasers. You've not lied to man but God. You and I must think before we act. Herm Edwards, who was a football player in the NFL, and was an NFL coach and analyst, now is the head football coach at Arizona State University. I remember just listening to sports radio, he always would speak to the rookies coming into the NFL, and he would say, hey, think before you press send. Right? In this world of social media, especially like Twitter's big with football players or athletes, think before you hit send, because there are how many tweets, how many Facebook posts, how many Instagram things have been deleted or taken down because people just did not think twice before they acted. And that's essentially what happened to Ananias and Sapphira. We can learn from that. Think before you act. Think before you talk. Think before you speak, and certainly, hopefully, keep inside yourself, right, the things that are going to be downgrading to people or make you seem like just people pleasers.
And I think all that is so strong, Justin, and I think it's a safe assumption to say that Ananias and Sapphira were truly not Spirit-led people.
No.
because they did these actions. Their life reflected that they did not allow the Spirit to guide them, to lead them. And so here we are in 2020 now. If I'm living a lie, you know, that I'm trying to put on a front, I found out in my years of ministry, and I did this for a little while, I tried to be almost my first few years of youth ministry, I tried to not let the kids know I had weakness, you know, because I needed to be a strength for them. I needed to be, and I had an elder one time bring something up, and I'm like, oh no, we can't do that or whatever. He said, why? He said, you know, it wasn't anything bad, but he was just like, you know that they're already doing that or whatever. You can talk about these things.
Right.
And at that point, I'm like, I need to reflect on myself. And so I changed and like, I'm going to become real. I'm going to let people know my struggles. I'm going to let people, I can remember that. And it changed my entire course of ministry. You know, at that point at Mobile Christian, I really became somebody that I think kids could listen to, even though they could tell me their struggles in life. They knew I wasn't going to say, hey, well, I'm so, you're okay. You keep on doing bad things. I was going to love them through it, just like people have loved me through mine. And as a minister, what I learned and where I'm trying to go with this is, people want real. They're interested in real, not fake. And that's what, it stopped them. It stopped Ananias and Sapphira because they ultimately were not Spirit-led. When we are unstoppable, we can't do it on our own. We got to trust God. But here's what happens. We have power. Remember that power we tap? We can tap, we can plug into that power, right? We have protection. Think about that. He's going to put us under His wings. I'm reading a book recommended by Crystal Galloway. I'm listening to it. You know, that's my form of reading.
Sure.
Entitled The Hiding Place. And I don't want to give away a lot of it, but it's about the Holocaust and times the Germans had invaded the areas over there and such. And so this lady, she's just a great lady, come from a great family. But even in jail, she's in jail at this point. They had hid Jews in their home. And so she has a pet aunt. That's all she had to look forward to, really, a pet aunt. And the aunt, as she was getting ready to be moved to a different facility and area, she had talked to the aunt, or she was talking and thinking why the aunt wouldn't come out. She even put some crumbs out or what have you. But ultimately, she said the aunt went into its hiding place, and she said, I also have a hiding place, even in this, because Jesus has put me in the cleft of the rock. And that stuck with me. That, you know, if we are Spirit-led, we have protection in this virus, in this pandemic, in this uncertain world, in this perverse generation. We have refuge in Jesus Christ. We also have clarity. Is our lives full of confusion today? Well, let's be Spirit-led people so that we can see. We have comfort. You know, we all have a comfort thing in our lives. Maybe it's bed. Maybe it's when you were a kid, a blanket. Maybe it was being with mom and dad, whatever it was. But we find that comfort spot. And so here today, we can find comfort in God. But we also have conviction. And I think that's something that's important. Today, what Justin and I are saying is not easy to say. We don't want to say, hey, maybe we're living a fake life. We don't want to say harsh things, but hey, we got to be bold, right? Like they said, if we're going to be focused like they were. But conviction is not taught as much as it used to be. We need to be convicted and pricked in our hearts. We also have comprehension, understanding, and insight. And so when it comes down to being unstoppable, number one, we need to be Spirit-led. Anything else you want to add
there? It's sad set of circumstances here, but their obedience was used as an example here, right? We need to be Spirit-led people, like you said. But this disobedience, or the disobedience of Ananias and Sapphira, were used to discourage people from lying to God, right? To really bring fear upon the church. And I think we can just sum it up to say that obviously we know lying is wrong, but it's not going to stop the work of the church, right? It certainly didn't hear. But you and I, as Spirit-led people, need to be honest, right? Because it's going to be helpful to us. It's going to be helpful to the kingdom of God. It's going to be helpful to those that we interact with.
Absolutely. And so it leads us to number two today. As we talk about being unstoppable, what else can we draw from this text? Well, I believe this is going to come from verses 12 through 16 that we'll have you read in just a moment. But what it tells us here, as we read this, is if we're going to be unstoppable, we must continue to be bold.
That's right. So verses 12 through 16, again, of Acts chapter 5. Now many signs and wonders were regularly done among the people by the hands of the apostles. And they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared to join them, but the people held them in high esteem. And more than ever, believers were added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on cots and mats, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed.
That's wild stuff.
That is.
That's so strong, man. And you know, I think about this, and really what I would say here, and I'm going to tag mm-hmm. you in because I know you've got a lot of great things to say about it. Unstoppable Christians, okay? That's what they were here. Shut up. Remember, mm-hmm. that's what they told them. Shut your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
They said, with all due respect, again, they weren't ugly about it. They said, we can't. We're unstoppable, right? And that was their attitude. Unstoppable Christians are continually, courageously, and clearly pointing people to the cross.
Mm-hmm.
That means in my life, no matter what I do for a living, now I know it's easier in some ways because
right.
it is our job, and even though we don't look at it as our job, it's our responsibility, but it's not just our responsibility. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go, where? Into all the world. Make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things. He said, hey, you're not alone. I'll be with you always, even in this age. Then he tells them in Acts 1, we studied this already a few weeks ago, as they're gazing, you know, and at this amazing moment, he said, hey, the Spirit's coming. The power's coming. He said, I want you to wait right here and be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are standing in our Jerusalem. Right now, you're in your Jerusalem, in your living room or wherever you're watching this, because wherever we are, they were standing in Jerusalem. That's our Jerusalem, right? And so what do we need to do? Everything we do, wherever we go, whatever we do, whether we're retired, whether we're working, whether we're teachers, whether we're construction workers, whatever it may be, we must continually, courageously, and clearly point people to the cross.
Yeah, and this is need in its own self, because we see that many signs and wonders were regularly done by the hands of the apostles. So in Acts 3 and Acts 4, we talk a lot about Peter and John, but now if we pay attention to the sentence structure here, we see that all the apostles are here together. We see again this power and unity, and that's, man, that's what the first century church was all about, was this unity as they continued in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread and prayer, right? So when they were together and they had all things in common, that's how we need to be. We need to be the Spirit-led people that are not trying to just be people pleasers, that are not trying to just honor men with our lips, but we need to make sure that we are honoring God with our lips, with our lives. We need to be together, right? None of them dared to even join them. This had struck so much fear in the eyes of people that they said, hey, we can't join these people and just be casual about it. We need to either be all in or all out. And I feel like Jesus even taught on that, right?
That's
in Revelation, right?
Right?
Not being lukewarm people. They were the non-believers, those casually committed, didn't even dare to join them. I read this out of a commentary this week. It says, the community of Christians had a marvelous reputation for integrity. Man, I hope that's still true. I hope that's true about the Azalea City Church. And everybody knew it was a serious thing to be a follower of Jesus. An Ananias and Sapphira incident would reduce the level of casual commitment. Okay, so now you've got these that wouldn't even dare to join them because they were not fully committed. Right? These people, these apostles, they were held in high esteem. More than ever, the church started to grow, or the believers were added to the Lord. And then how about this? Multitudes of men and women were brought to the streets. They were bringing out all the sick people, laying them in cots and on mats outside the streets, just hoping that the shadows would cast over these people and be healed. And one thing I believe that's amazing here, they were all healed. There wasn't one that went unnoticed or one that needs were not met. The apostles did their best, right? Because they were Spirit-led, they were able to heal everyone.
You're exactly right, Justin. It's so, so powerful, man. And man, those points that you made are just spot on. And so, to put it to how we can see it today is this, okay? Peter and John and all those that were there are Spirit-led, right? Mm-hmm. We know that. They are bold despite the threats. They've been threatened a lot now, like we've talked about. Despite the threats, they do not let that stop them.
That's right.
They continue to be bold. Well, even though they're going to, in just a moment, be put in prison, that's not going to stop them either.
So let me pull it for everybody.
Yeah, let me go ahead and read 17 through 21.
Mm-hmm.
This is still under the point now. But we must continue to be bold.
Right.
But the high priest rose up, and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, remember, they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they're real upset about this. Listen to this. They were filled with jealousy. Terrible. They arrested the apostles and put them in the public prison. That doesn't mean that they treated them like just commoners, even though they were their own people, you know. But during the night, an angel of the Lord, you can't stop God. During the night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors. He didn't bust them out or whatever. He just opened them up. I mean, I love it.
Just casually opened it, walked in.
That God's like, you think that's going to lock my people up? No, watch this. And again, spectacular things, right? He said, verse 20, go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of life, of this life. And when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and began to teach. Now when the high priest came and those who were with him, they called together the council, all the sin of the people of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought.
Imagine, you see shows or whatever and people may be arrested and thrown in prison. They have this interaction like, hey, what are you in for? When they ask the apostles this, I can just imagine this. The Sadducees are really just jealous of us.
Yeah. But, exactly.
Okay, can you imagine?
We thought about Jesus Christ, baptizing people.
I mean, and just because we're bringing these people, or we're telling you that you crucified Jesus, he rose from the grave, like obviously you gotta realize the prison's not gonna keep them. Jesus rose straight up out of the grave we talked about a few weeks ago, right? So a little prison and some bars and a lock was not gonna keep them out. But they just arrested them based off of jealousy. Right? That is amazing to me, just because, and I guess that goes to show us today that people are going to be jealous. People are going to be envious of things that we have as Christians. They may even try, because of that jealousy, try to put us down because of it.
No doubt.
Right?
And you're right. And just to go with that thought, you know, I think sometimes people look at jealousy and envy as the same. It's not quite the same, but they're very close. Mm-hmm. They're first cousins, if you will. And so if I'm a jealous person, very easily can that slip into envy. And envy is when I want to hurt people and do bad things to them and all. And that is definitely sinful. And that's what was happening here. These Sadducees are religious people.
Mm-hmm.
They are not just some commoner off the street. They are religious people. These priests, they are supposed to be the example of the sect of these Jewish people. Religious leaders. And so, as I think about that, are there going to be people in church? They may look at you and say, man, Justin and Ashley, y'all have a great marriage. And I don't have a great marriage, and I want to say bad things about Justin. I want to try to bring him down. And I want to do this, and I want to do that. Or they may look at somebody's children and say, hey, I want to, their children's better than mine, and I want to attack that child. And you see kids do this all the time at school and through social media, and just all these things happen. Well, those are persecutions we go through, but it doesn't make it any easier. It still hurts.
Question.
And as Christians, as religious people, we've got to quit being that way. Mm-hmm. That stops the momentum of boldness. And it stops the momentum of growth of the church.
But the apostles didn't allow that to stop
them.
They
sure did.
Right? As they were Spirit-led right out of the prison, so to speak, right? And they were commanded to go back and teach. And so as soon as day broke, they go and continue to teach the words of life. And if you're all right, I'll continue reading there. So after verse 25, right? No. When did you stop? Where did you stop?
Verse 22.
Sorry, 22. So we'll start in 23.
No, start in 22.
Starting 22.
All right, I thought the 21.
I'm terrible at this. But when the officers came, they did not find them in prison, so they returned and reported. We found the prison securely locked and the guards standing at the doors, but when we opened them, we found no one inside.
So funny.
Now when the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these words, they were greatly perplexed, right? What a big word there, right? Perplexed, like they could not, they were just puzzled, right?
Yeah.
They couldn't put all the pieces together. They were perplexed about them, wondering what this would come to. How is this all going to end, right?
Mm-hmm.
And someone came and told them, look, the men whom you put in prison are standing at the temple teaching the people. Then the captain with the officers went and brought them, but not by force, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people. So just to wrap that up there in verse 26, they were so puzzled. They were filled with uncertainty. They have no idea how this is going to end. You think they would just stop.
Yeah.
You think maybe if they're going to be truly the religious leaders or the example, they would say, hey, you know what? Maybe this is of God.
Right.
But they can't help themselves. At this point, it becomes, certainly if it's not already, a big issue with pride.
That's right.
Right? They told them, hey, you better stop. We're not going to do anything to you right now, but you better stop preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. And then they arrest them, and then they further threaten them.
Yeah.
Right? Then they're let out. Now they're arresting them again, essentially. Like Peter and John and the other apostles were willing to go. They didn't go, they didn't force them, but they were willing to go back. Like, I think as Christians, no matter how puzzled people are, no matter how uncertain people are about where our faith is going to end, where our hope is going to end, we have to continually be committed, right? To continue to be close to Jesus.
That's right.
Am I jumping ahead of myself?
Yeah.
Are you there? Sorry.
No, I was just going to say that's exactly right. That leads us to our final point for the day. You know, when you put all this together, they were Spirit-led people. Because of that, they continued to be bold. No matter what people threatened them with, they didn't stop because they were close to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You know, they walked out of that prison. And it's so remarkable how they walk out of that prison, you know. And, I mean, the people are perplexed and what in the world's going on. And they look over and they're like, they didn't go home. They didn't go and eat a nice meal in a restaurant. They went and did what God told them to do. They're teaching the people. Why? Because of their extreme closeness. When we are fully, as you said, I like the word, committed.
Mm-hmm.
When we are 100% committed to the cause of Christ, then everything we do will center around Christ.
Yep.
Everything we do. And you know, I do want to read just the next part of this to kind of go along with it. 27 through 32, stay with me here. And when they had brought them, now again, they're not going to take them by force. Why? They want to. They want to beat them.
They want to kill them. Yeah,
kill
exactly.
them. But they're afraid that the people are going to have an uproar here. And so when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest questioned them, saying, we strictly, this is chapter 3, right? Or chapter 4, we strictly charged you not to teach in this name. And I want to pause right there. But they did tell them. They told them, hey, you got to do what you got to do to us.
You're not going
to
stop us.
We can't stop.
That's right.
And so here in verse 28, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood, Jesus Christ, upon us. But Peter and the apostles answered. I almost think, I hope that they did it in a unison chant.
I thought that this morning as well.
You know,
like, yeah, one, two, three.
They've rehearsed it so much.
Yep.
We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus. Here he goes again, preaching the gospel, right? Whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. Man, that is strong.
Right.
If we're close to Jesus, if we are Holy Spirit-led, if we are bold, if we are close to Jesus, then nothing can stop us from spreading the good name of Jesus Christ.
And it becomes at this point that they absolutely want to just lay hands on them to kill them, right? And enter Gamaliel, right? And what a great suggestion this is. What a wise man he obviously had to have been. And he continues on in verse 33, or after they want to kill him in verse 33. Verse 34, he says, "But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up." You know, like if you're in this meeting and you've got all these people barking out suggestions, and then the wisest, maybe it's the oldest man in the room, the most revered man stands up or maybe speaks up and says, you know, "Hey, this is maybe what we need to do." And everybody's like,
Gamaliel would have had that type of respect.
Like I remember that just in various secular jobs that I've held, being in a meeting with a lot of talking heads, and then you get this one, this revered person. This is that moment, right?
Just for a moment, you remember Paul, when he's kind of giving his pedigree of what he was. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He went to Gamaliel's school to learn the Pharisee sect.
And so here we are still in verse 34, that he stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you're about to do with these men. For before the days of Thutis, rose up claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away from some of the people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan for this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So we took his advice, and when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. Can you imagine? So you have Thutis and Judas that have risen up, that had these followers, they died, their followers have dispersed. Well, Gamaliel's thinking, "Hey, you know what, Jesus," I'm guessing he's thinking Jesus rose up, he died, remember he rose from the grave, I know Sadducees, you don't believe that, but he rose from the grave. Now he's got these followers that aren't scattered, they're united more than ever. And that's got to be powerful in itself to think about, that how as followers we've got to be united.
And he's saying, look, just let it roll.
Yep.
He said, because if they're doing it for a man, it's going to be like the rest of us. It's just going to fail. He said, but if it's from God, you can't overthrow it.
Wow.
You're wasting your time. Guess what, Satan? Guess what, world? You are wasting your time because what we are striving to do is of God. It is His kingdom. It is His church. And we must be close to Jesus. We must be bold. And we must be Spirit-led. And if we are all those things, we will be unstoppable. We can take a beating mentally, emotionally, physically, but we must not cease to teach and preach in the name of Jesus Christ, no matter what happens. Now, the question is, how do we get close to Jesus? I'm going to give you four quick points that are very practical, but I want you to really meditate on these. Number one, spend much more time in His Word than on things of the world. And I want you to take, you know, these phones that S-I-R-I, I won't say her name because she might go off again, was talking to me earlier. They have I think it's on Sundays, they show you how much screen time you've had. I want you to look at that and compare it to how much time you spent in the Word of God. I mean, that sounds simple, but that's as easy as I can say it. Did you spend that much time in the Word of God? Did you spend more time on the screen than on, and much less, we could really get into some counseling sessions here. Did you talk to your wife that much? Did you talk to your children that much? You know, et cetera, et cetera. My point of it is, though, are you close to Jesus? You've got to ask yourself, because this is heaven or hell. This is not Auburn, Alabama. This is heaven or hell, okay? Are you spending more time, am I spending more time in the Word of God than on things of the world? Secondly, I've got to spend much more time in prayer than my other priorities. I'm going to do what matters to me. Does prayer matter to me? Remember when we talked on Ephesians 6, He gave us the shield of faith, but He also gave us the power of prayer. I'm sorry, He gave us the sword of the Spirit. You knew I was butchering it.
I was agreeing with you, I'm sorry.
Sword of the Spirit
as
an offensive weapon, but He also gave us the power of prayer. And so we've got the Word and we've got prayer, right? Mm-hmm. So we must spend a lot of time. If you want to be close with Jesus, if you want to be unstoppable, thirdly, I must be much more active in service than in shallow things. Jesus told them to launch out into the deep. I've got to step out. I've got to serve others. You remember the prodigal son that we referenced again? When he was in the pig's pen, he didn't say, I'm going and getting back in my own bed and eating at my own table. He said, I'm going to ask my God, my Father, who was God in the story, to make me a servant. We must be servant-oriented. If I'm going to be like Jesus, that's the bottom line. And then finally, I've got to associate with people that will encourage me to be closer to God than closer to Satan and the world. I've got to have in my circle of influence, I need to come in contact with sinners or I'm not going to be able to carry out the mission. But in my circle of influence, I need people that are going to encourage me to grow closer to God than closer to the world.
It's funny, I had 4 points to close too. And it pretty much revolves around being an obedient Christian, right? And we certainly see that Peter and John and the rest of the apostles are obedient to God through this. We see what happens when people are disobedient. We see that people are so feared because of what may happen if they're a casual, committed Christian, that they certainly fear to even join them or be in their presence. But for obedient Christians, the ones that are fully committed here, we know the Lord's power through the Holy Spirit. Certainly the apostles had witnessed this. Certainly we can witness this through what we read and what we study about them. Right? And certainly we have the Spirit today. Again, not the miraculous healing, but filled with the Spirit. We've got to know God's power through the Holy Spirit. We've got to obey God over and certainly above any kind of civil authorities. Mm-hmm. Right? We certainly are going to respect them because we're supposed to respect them. But we've got to obey God over all. Boldly and persistently proclaim the message of Christ no matter what. They were beaten and they rejoiced for it. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 11 says, Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Verse 12, rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets. They certainly persecuted now the apostles who were before us, right? And then lastly, if we can do this, if we can be obedient Christians and understand the power of the Holy Spirit, understand that we've got to obey God over every civil authority, if we can understand how to boldly and persistently proclaim the message of Christ, then you and I can be a part. We will be a part of the unstoppable.
That's exactly right. And so as we get ready to close, I'm going to invite you to ask yourself and be honest. Has your faith stopped? Has it stopped? Has something come in the way? And if that snake that Justin walked across in the woods, or whatever it may be, has it just come to a stop? Are hobbies and other things coming before worship in God?
Yeah.
Family? We put other things. We put family in there. We can put job in there. We can put, my own fears, my own, personal struggles, sin. Is it coming before worship in God? If the answer is yes, you can change that today. And you need to change that today. We need to be unstoppable. If you're not a Christian, if you're not baptized into Jesus Christ, let us know. If you're in Mobile, we'll make it happen today. If you are living somewhere else, we'll call, make some calls. We'll find a way.
Yeah.
Become a child of the King. Or if you have done that and you have become unstoppable, or you've been stopped, you want to be unstoppable, give the elders a call. Give us a call. let us pray with you. Let's repent. Let's make these things right. And let's be Spirit-led. Let's be bold. And let's be close to Jesus Christ. I love you, church. I appreciate you. Let's close in prayer.
Yep.
Father, thank you so much for the many ways you bless us. Thank you for giving us your Son. Thank you for the opportunity we've had to open up this very powerful chapter in Acts chapter 5 as we know it. And Father, to see the boldness, the closeness, the leadership of Peter, John, and the apostles, Father, they're focused on the church. And Father, as we strive to be the church of the New Testament, help us not to forget the zeal. Help us not to forget the excitement. Help us not to forget that if we plug into your power, that we are unstoppable. Thank you for Justin. Thank you for our church family. Thank you for our elders. And thank you for Theo, for Robert, everybody that makes all this possible. Father, we love you so much. And we ask that if there be those who need to get their lives right, that they'll make that decision today. It's our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Because I failed to mention it last week, I did put something on Facebook, and I appreciate Robert Stevenson and all the work that he's done. That the church garden is certainly growing. I certainly appreciate the teens and some dads that helped us out with that before. Well, and moms too. Families, I guess, that helped us plant it before we went into this period of isolation, essentially. We have squash, green beans, cucumbers, all that's growing pretty much. Anybody knows anything about gardening, those things grow pretty much daily. When they start flowering and blossoming, they certainly produce fruit near about every day. So we've got those. If anybody in our church family needs them, please contact me or Robert or the church office and come and get those. Bible classes. I know one or two were great this morning was the 8:30 Bible class with George and my dad, 9:15 with Jason, the 1-to-1. Teens will have a class at 12:30 today, 1-to-1. JYG will have a class at 1:30. Roadrunners will be at 5.
Yep.
I know you mentioned earlier about mine and Ashley's relationship, and I don't ever share much on Facebook, and I figured, you know, relationship goals here. I was going to let y'all know that I did for Mother's Day buy her a mattress set for our guest bedroom.
That's awesome.
But it's one of those times, and I put this on Facebook, you know, like I was excited about that because I knew she was going to love it. Right, I don't know what our relationship has come to.
That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Thanks.
Let me say this. George mentioned it earlier. I know what Governor Ivey said, that things are going to start opening back up. Our elders are meeting, just like other sister congregations in town. You know, they're all meeting, and we're going to try to come up with something or see and weigh the everything. Just, they need your prayers right now. A lot of decisions because they want to keep everybody safe, but certainly we want to be able to worship as much as possible. So they'll be meeting about that. So there'll be more information that comes out. We'll try to make that available to you as soon as we know. But just keep praying about everything because, hey, no matter what, great things are still happening. Spectacular things are happening. And we love you so much. We do miss you. We appreciate you, and so please, if you haven't shared this, go ahead and share this message and lesson and worship service today. And again, we hope to see you very, very soon. Please know that we're going to close with a song, and hey, nothing else, we'll be back here Wednesday night doing it all over again.
Happy Mother's Day again.
Happy Mother's Day, Mama.